Good morning, everybody. Yeah. When Brian asked me to preach this morning, I told him the first thing that I wanted to do was to thank all of you for your faithful and persistent prayers for me over this past year as I endured a bone marrow stem cell transplant. And I'll tell you, there are plenty of times that I didn't think I was going to make it through this year, but God used your faithful prayers to help me to endure. And this past week, I just spent the entire week up at the National Institutes of Health up in Bethesda, Maryland, where I had my transplant for my one-year anniversary of my stem cell transplant. And after several tests, the doctors gave me some very good reports, and they were very pleased with my progress. And I'm feeling better now than I have in a long, long time. Thanks to you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't make me cry before I preach. But I do thank you very much. So this morning, I want to speak to you from my heart of gratitude about what God has been teaching me and what I believe he wants all of us to know about how to experience his love in the midst of hardships. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Will Parker and I have been teaching through the letter of Hebrews in our ABF over this past year. The Hebrew Christians were going through a lot of hardships and were drifting away from Christ rather than clinging to him. They could not see God in the midst of their suffering and wondered if he even cared at all. We all feel that way from time to time. Perhaps some of you are feeling that way today. This letter was written to encourage them and us to persevere in our faith by keeping our eyes on Jesus and not the troubles around us. Verses 1 through 3 of this passage really is the heart of the passage, but I taught on that in our ABF a few weeks ago before the missions gala, so I want to focus on verses 4 and following. But in those first three verses, we're encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our faith is rooted in the fact that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins and rose again to give us new life. But he's the perfecter of our faith in the sense that what he began in us, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. But as he's perfecting us, he uses a lot of hardships and trials along the way to help us to grow more and more into his image. So that's what I want to focus on this morning, verses 4 through 11, if you'll follow along with me in your Bibles. And I'm reading from the NIV, in case you have another translation. It says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would help us to understand your word and to apply it to our lives, even when it is very difficult. In Jesus' name, amen. The main thing I want us to see this morning is that God uses hardships in our lives to discipline us so we will experience his love in a deeper way. Notice verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. The Greek word for discipline has a broader meaning that includes any hardships that we may go through, including persecution, physical illnesses, tragedies, grieving the loss of a loved one, broken relationships, financial problems, or any kind of suffering that is unpleasant and painful to us. God's discipline is painful, but always motivated in love. Verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. It includes both corrective discipline on one hand and training discipline on the other hand. Each requires a different response, but they are both designed to help us experience God's love in a deeper way. There are two principles that I want us to see this morning about God's love and discipline. The first one is that God uses corrective discipline to lead us to repentance and share in his holiness. Secondly, God uses training discipline to help us persevere and experience his peace. Notice the end game in verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Righteousness is produced by learning to obey. Peace is produced by learning to trust. Let's consider, first of all, the first point, that God uses corrective discipline to lead us to repentance and share in his holiness. Notice in verse 5 his quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Corrective discipline is to rebuke us when we're living in sin. But notice that he addresses us as sons, showing his relationship of love for us as our Heavenly Father. Notice how many times God calls us his sons in this passage. Verse 5, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Verse 6, the Lord disciplines those he loves and accepts as a son. Verse 7, endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children, not true sons. Now, let's be very clear about this. Not everyone is a child of God, as many would teach. Only those who are trusting Christ for our salvation are a child of God. John 1:12 says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're not yet a believer, you do not yet have the privilege of being called a child of God. And you do not have that promise that God has a good purpose in your hardships. But you can have that promise if you would surrender your life Christ. He will give you that hope that God is working all things together for good to those who love him. For us who are believers, we can be assured that all of our hardships are God's discipline to help us experience his love and to enable us to love him more. Yet corrective discipline is for both believers and unbelievers whom God is calling to himself. Corrective discipline is when we're living in sin and God brings hardships to lead us to repentance. This would be for both unbelievers and believers. I can remember before I surrendered my life to Christ as a young man, the misery that I experienced as a result of my sinful choices. God used that misery to show me my need for a Savior. So I eventually repented of my sin and put my faith in Christ to lift me out of that misery. If you're not a believer yet, perhaps God is doing the same for you today. But corrective discipline is also applied to us as believers when we go astray or fall into sin for a time. You know what a spoiled child is like that is not disciplined by his parents. He becomes very selfish and unruly, and over time feels insecure and unloved by his parents. That's why Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but whoever loves him is diligent to discipline him." Discipline shows us how much God loves us as our Heavenly Father. But hardships also expose our sin. I know it has for me. The painful ordeal of my cancer and stem cell transplant has exposed my pride, self-pity, self-sufficiency, and self-righteousness. I've had to repent over and over again. But that's been a good thing, because it helps me to accept Christ's love, his strength, his sufficiency, and his righteousness. That enables me to know him more. He's got a lot more sin to refine in me, but he's drawing me closer to him in the process, though it is very painful. What do hardships expose in your life? For many, it exposes bitterness towards God because life is not turning out the way you expected. For others, it may expose an independent spirit. You don't want to submit to God. You want to do things your way. But if those hardships lead you to repentance, it's a good thing. His goal is to help us to grow more and more like Christ, as it says, or it implies in verse 10. God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. But God's discipline is not only corrective, it is often training discipline, even when we're trying to live godly lives. Which leads us to our second point, that God uses training discipline to help us persevere and experience his peace. Remember the goal of discipline in verse 11. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Or as the ESV says, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Training discipline is not because we're doing anything wrong, but to help us to persevere in growing in our relationship with Christ. It's like the training an athlete might go through to prepare for a race or a game. I remember when I played football in high school, when August came around, we had these two-a-day practices. Some of you have played football, you can identify with this. You get up early in the morning, and for 2 hours, you're running wind sprints and going all through these tough drills, and then in the afternoon, you do it again. And you do that for the whole month of August, over and over. And You know, not because we've done anything wrong, but because the coach is trying to train us to endure and build up our strength so that when the games start in September, we'll be able to play our best. And I'll tell you, there are many times that I just wanted to quit. I was so sore, so tired. But he kept running us and kept drilling us, and it paid off. At the end of the season, we won the state championship. So that was good. So often, when we go through hardships in our lives, we don't see the purpose, and we lose sight of the end goal. We often feel like God does not love us. Like the Hebrew Christians, we're tempted to give up or pity ourselves, become angry and bitter towards God and each other. Or we turn to addictions to give us some temporary comfort rather than clinging to Christ. Those things do not give us lasting peace. But keeping our eyes on Jesus as we persevere in those trials will bring us peace. We will have peace with God. That peace comes from trusting that God is our Heavenly Father who loves us and has a good purpose for our lives. We can trust God more than our earthly fathers. Notice the example of our earthly fathers compared to our Heavenly Father in verse 9. He says, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live?" Now, I don't know what your relationship with your father was like growing up. Some of you had or have good role models as fathers who discipline you in love most of the time. Some of you have not had a good relationship with your father and have a hard time appreciating God as your Heavenly Father. My father was a tobacco and livestock farmer who was a good disciplinarian, and he taught me the value of hard work. Yet he was not a good role model in other areas as he struggled with alcohol abuse and neglect and carousing that caused me to be shipped off to an orphanage at the age of 10. Yet, when I look back now, I appreciate and respect him for the discipline he gave me, as imperfect as he was. It's easy for us to form our view of God as our Father based on our relationship with our earthly father. For some of you, that may give you a good picture of God's fatherly love for us. For others, it may sour your view of God as our Father. But we need to make sure our view of God is fashioned from who He says He is in His Word, more than what we experience from our fathers. We should respect our fathers for the times they tried to do what is best for us, but also recognize that they are imperfect, just as we as parents are imperfect, and sometimes don't always do what is best for our children. But here's the point. God always disciplines us for our good, unlike our earthly fathers. Verse 10 says, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good." And I would add the word always for our good. We do not always see His good in the midst of our hardships because they are so painful. But trusting God's promise to work all things together for good will help us persevere and experience peace in time. Notice verse 11 says, "Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace." Many of you know my oldest son, Andrew. who is now one of our missionaries to Bogota, Colombia. Well, when he was a little boy, about 6 or 7 years old, we signed him up to play soccer. And he was on a team where the coach was not very nice to him. And the other boys had been playing a while, and they were more experienced and skilled. So his first game, he was very timid to go out and play. But he went out, and as soon as he got out there, the ball hit him right in the stomach. And he cried, and he came out of the game, and he said, "Dad, I want to go home. I don't want to play anymore." I said, "Son, I'm sorry. Sit on the bench, and you'll feel better in a little bit. It'll be okay." I said, "You know, when a horse kicks you off, what do? You get right back on it." And I said, "Besides, what are the chances of that ball hitting you in the stomach again?" "Yeah, not very much." So pretty soon the coach called him back out to go in the game. And as soon as he got out there, the ball hit him in the stomach again. And he was livid. He wanted to come out of that game so bad. But the coach kept him in, made him stay in to the rest of the game. So on our way home, he said, "Dad, why did you make me stay in the game? Why didn't you let me quit?" I said, "Son, I don't care if you play soccer or not, but what I do care about is that you learn to persevere when things are hard." I said, "You're going to face hardships for the rest of your life, and you need to learn to stay in the game and persevere." I said, "For instance, believe it or not, you're going to get married one day. And you're going to have some conflicts from time to time in your marriage." And I said, "But you need to not quit, and you need to work it out and persevere." So when we got home, his mother asked him, "Andrew, how was your soccer game?" He said, "It was terrible. I got hurt, and I hated it." She said, "Well, what did you learn?" He said, "Not to divorce my wife." And I'm happy to report to you that Andrew is happily married. In fact, he's approaching his 7th anniversary, and he and Kelly worked through their conflicts very well. But we need to make sure that we're staying in the game. If we're going to be trained by God's discipline, we must stay in the game and not give up. Verse 9 says, we must submit to the Father of our spirits and live. Part of that submission is learning to trust God's love for us and His purpose in the midst of hardships, even when we don't see it. The more we trust, the more peace we will have that He is in control of our circumstances, and in time will work all for our good and for His glory. Submitting to Him involves clinging to Him in the midst of our suffering through spending time in His Word and in prayer. It's okay for us to pray that He will relieve us of our suffering or heal us. I can tell you that I've prayed that many times over the last year, and you prayed that for me, and He was very gracious to help me to recover in time. But if He does not answer our prayer right away, the way we want, we must trust that He loves us, and He knows what's best for us. Are you at the point of saying, "Lord, if You do not choose to take the suffering away, I will trust Your will for my life, because I know You have a good plan for me"? That's what I've had to learn so many times over and over this past year as I was recovering from my stem cell transplant. Many times I felt like God was not hearing my prayers, and I was ready to cash it in, honestly. But what sustained me was meditating on God's promises in His Word, especially the Psalms. I had to learn to persist in prayer, even when I didn't see God answering, and wait on Him to answer in His time and in His way. One of the biggest encouragements to me was being surrounded by your faithful prayers and encouragement. I was amazed at how many people were following me on Caring Bridge and praying for me and posting so many encouraging notes. And it's an inspiration to me to see how many of you are going through much more hardships than I've ever faced. And yet you continue to trust God's love for you in the midst of it. When we go through hard times, our tendency is to withdraw. But we need the fellowship of our church and to stay engaged in public worship, as the Hebrews were encouraged to do in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It said, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching." We need each other. And I'm so thankful to be in a church that really cares. It helps me to experience God's love for me. What hardships are you facing today? How are you responding to them? Are you withdrawing from the Lord and His people? Or are you clinging to your Heavenly Father through time in His Word, prayer, and worship? Are you distinguishing between God's corrective discipline and His training discipline? And how do you know the difference? Well, if we know we're living in sin, either as a believer or an unbeliever, we can assume that God's bringing hardships in our lives to get our attention, to lead us to repentance, because He loves us and He wants a relationship with us. But if we're not aware of any unconfessed sin in our lives and we are suffering hardships, we should not beat ourselves up and wonder, "Why is God punishing me?" No, He's not punishing you. He's training you to persevere so that you can enjoy His peace and love. Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons. In the midst of hardships, we need to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You've heard that before, right? That's what the song says. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your love for us. And Lord, especially in the hard times that we go through, to know that You are working all things together for our good and for Your glory. And we pray, Lord, that if there are areas in our lives that we need to repent and draw near to You, that, Lord, You would help us to do that. But, Lord, if You want us just to learn perseverance so that we can enjoy Your peace, we pray that we would be settled with that as well. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brother Terry, thank you.